Welcome to Past Your Bedtime. I'm Andrea Belke.
I'm Caitlin Cook.
And I'm Danielle K.
Wait, what? Danielle's back?
Danielle's back!
I'm
welcome
back,
home.
Bitches.
Yeah, I'm so excited that you're back. It feels like you've been gone for a long time.
I felt like I was gone probably for like half a year. Like, because a 2.5 week vacation is like insane to
Well,
me.
Especially when you were abroad and you were in what, five places?
Well, technically 8 different cities.
Oh my God.
Okay, so
where were you?
You were gone for 2.5 weeks, right?
Yeah, like 16 days,
yes.
Something like that.
So for podcast listeners, it's tricks of the trade. We pre-taped one.
We did.
Danielle has been gone for a bit.
But where were you?
So I was first in Morocco. Let's see, I was in 4 different cities, I believe. So we started in Marrakesh. Then we went to Fez, and then we went to a lovely, lovely place called Chef Shawan. It's kind of mystical, and the whole thing is painted blue. It's, like, really interesting. And then we went to Casablanca.
That's Ooh. So cool.
Yes. So Morocco was cool. I'd never been to Africa, so that was neat. And then I went to Germany. I started in Berlin. And then I went to Amsterdam and Paris and then to Munich. So I...
Wow.
I went around.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Were you by yourself?
No, I was with a good friend of mine. And
I love that Caitlin asked as if she didn't know. It's amazing.
You know what? I'm asking as the listener.
I've only seen all the Instagram
If you're going to blow up my spot, Andrea, I'm going to come across this table. I'm asking as a listener, okay?
I appreciate that.
Whatever. So much sass. Okay, so who were you with?
Oh, okay. Well, so yes, I was with my good friend. And I mean, I'm like, are we saying names at this point?
Oh, yeah, she's a friend.
Oh, okay,
if
great.
It's a friend, yeah.
I was like, I don't plan on talking shit, but my good friend Naushaba, and her and I met because we worked together a few years ago, and yeah, it's just funny how I think part of that too was like part of the equation why I think it was great to travel together, because like, you know, if you can work with someone, then you can go on these adventures together for sure. So it was fun. And then actually halfway through the trip, we met up with her brother, who is a DJ, and he DJs like these events all around the world called Wanderlust. And it's basically this integration of like yoga festivals with music.
Whoa.
And so on and so forth.
So cool.
Really interesting. So that's where we met up with him in Berlin. And then we spent the rest of the trip, 3 of us together. So it was really cool. lots of memories, and just the fact that I hadn't been on a trip that long in years.
Yeah, I want to know what was, if you had to narrow down to your top moment, what would it be when you think about this trip?
Oh, wow. Top moment? Oh, my gosh.
Or something that's sticks out.
Or you can give us 3 moments.
3 or 5.
Okay, sure. So I thought it was really cool to... I liked Berlin just in general. Like, I really liked Berlin. So that as a moment, in a way, that was like really cool. I think I just appreciated the fact that it was like it was artistic, cultured, a little bohemian / hipster, but also like very like orderly and very like polite, lots of convenience, but also space to breathe. Like, it was a city where...
So it wasn't like New York.
No, it was... Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? So I'm used... When you're in Manhattan, you're constantly... It's a very congested feeling. And so when I was in Berlin, it was like, well, here's a somewhat cosmopolitan place, but it wasn't so congested. Like, people were spread out. People just kind of, like, took deep breaths every so often. You could tell that there wasn't a tension that people were, like... giving off.
That would be incredible. I mean, just now, as I was walking into, we record above Madison Square Garden, and as I was walking into the garden, there was a guy, as the young kids say, twerking up on what are those things that they put up for the parade? Why am I blanking
barricades?
On
them?
Thank you, barricade.
Yeah.
There was like a group of barricades, and he hopped up on there and started doing the thing.
Wait, how old is he?
He was probably like our age, but I just was staring at him, and I was like, first of all, what's going on? Second of all, like, then, you know, then it became people stopping and taking photos, and I was like, I'm trying to get to work. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, it's just, it's constant here, like, which is exciting, and also it'd be so nice to be in a city where you're kind of just like, oh, I can breathe fresh air, and also I'm not running into people that are stopping to...
Twerking. Oh my gosh. if I could twerk, maybe I'd be doing it on a barricade.
I mean, listen, he did a great job, but like, not sure what was going on.
Yeah, no, it was really cool because, yeah, like you said, you can just like, okay, so this is something else that I noticed, I guess, about Germans in general, but also I'll get to Amsterdam, but
people there really like follow the rules. Like it's a very orderly, I don't know, I guess people talk about like Tokyo and Japan as also being very like orderly.
Like they walk on the correct side of the sidewalk, things like that.
I guess like there's just not, I don't know, it just seemed like very tame, like very, there was not a wildness to that city. I think here sometimes it just seems crazy. It's like a freak show.
Yeah, you know, it is a freak show.
You go to Times Square, you go to Herald Square, and all these places are just so
all the squares
ridiculous.
Suck, by the way. If right. you come visit the city, don't go to the squares.
And if you have to go to the squares, like on a train, just get yourself ready. Like.
So, yeah, no, I was in the park with some friends this weekend, and this guy randomly called us a bunch of stupid C words.
Are you?
I feel like that wouldn't happen over there. Right?
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, no, it was very, like, just clean. And then I just was thinking, like, Angela Merkel is also a really cool chick. So, like, I people don't agree with her, like, progressive policy, but, like, she's actually, I think people who have, like, those, like, liberal values, like, appreciate her. And
wait,
I think, she's Germany's, like, PM, right?
Yeah.
Their prime minister.
Oh, okay. Well, and something I should probably know.
It's fine.
I was just saying it for the people that don't know.
I think there's some pretty epic photos of her not shaking Trump's hand, right?
Oh,
I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah,
I mean, I know that she, listen, don't come at me. I know that is, like, known for many greater things than that.
No, that's true.
But I'm just
saying. She wields, you know, like, a brashness. I think
she's
that people,
a badass.
Yeah. That people are, you know, find unexpected, and it's kind of great. So yeah. Anyway, big fan of Germany. I liked the hotel we were at. It was like brand new, and just the people there, like the staff at the hotel were super young. And Noshiba is never going to let me live this down. But I developed like this like stupid crush.
I was just
going
to say, I hope you're about to talk about a crush.
I developed a crush on this guy who worked at the hotel. Like we were there for like 3 nights, 3 days. His name is Eki.
Oh. Hey, Eki.
But, you know, and she gave me so much crap for it because she was like, he just looks like he needs like 2 showers. I was like, but in like a Johnny Depp kind of way, right?
In a hot way.
Yeah, I like was really into his
what
vibe.
What was his position? Was he like a bellhop or what'd he do?
I mean, whatever it is when you're like a concierge, but he like did... I don't know. I can't get over it. I just like, it was just
wait,
so
did anything
funny.
Happen with him?
Of course not.
No,
of course not.
Did you see a lot of hot guys in your overseas?
Yeah, and I realized how thirsty I am. Like, just, I was like, oh my God.
Because when I was traveling in Australia and Fiji, I didn't see any hot guys.
Really?
And I was so looking for the hot guys.
There were hot guys, okay, here, there were hot guys in Munich, Berlin, Amsterdam, and that's it.
Hot spots.
Yep.
In case anyone is single, go there.
Yep. They're
I also
tall,
will say there's like, something about the foreign accent. I mean, it, depending on where you are and what your tastes are. I know people that like don't like Australian accents. I think they're so sexy. but yeah, I mean, when I went to Paris, I remember just being in love with everyone there. Because it's like, this accent gets me. You know?
I mean, I fell in love at first sight with a Bavarian bartender in Munich. So there you go.
Great.
Nothing ever came of that because I don't live my life, apparently. No, I'm kidding. But I legitimately thought about like... It was raining and we literally just went in there to see if it was open for food. It wasn't. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to ask someone. So I ask him like, where do we go? And then as we're like going to the place, I'm like, should I just run back and like give him my Instagram? Like that's how desperately fantastical my mind was. Like I was just
but
like,
I love that. That's like a movie.
But then I was like, Danielle, just let go of the fact that he could be your soulmate because it's never gonna work because he lives in Munich.
It's so also like, so funny. That's like a movie in 2018 where instead of exchanging numbers, it's exchanging
Instagram. Yeah, right.
No, that happened to me in Australia.
He was beautiful.
There was this Irish guy I met, and whenever people ask me what I do, I always say, well, I'm in entertainment, and for some reason when I was talking to this guy, instead of just saying I'm an entertainment, I'm a host, blah blah blah, I said I'm an entertainment, adult entertainment. I
don't know, Andrea Belkin.
And then all of a sudden he's like, you could see his eyes just lit up and he got so excited and he goes,
I bet
wait,
he
wait.
Did.
And he said, how long are you here? And I was like, for a couple more days. And he's like, no way, are you serious? Like, we have to hang out. Oh
which
my God.
Told me a lot about him.
I was just gonna
and
say,
like, do you think guys are more excited if they find out you're a porn star, or is that more?
Well,
of
we're
a
not porn stars, so I don't know.
I would, you know what?
Oh, I am. In this moment, I was committed.
I would say it's 50-50.
Because this guy was so excited. And then it was really funny because the entire night, this was when I was in Australia, he thought that he was hanging out with a porn star.
Mm. Oh, yeah. He fed into the fantasy.
Little does he know, far from that.
You guys, I got proposed to in Morocco. Like, on my, literally on the way out of the airport, the guy was like, don't leave, marry me. And I was like, in your dreams, man.
Wait. That was, was this just a person that you walked past?
Yes, literally, no, he was like, he worked at the airport. But no, like, he was like, and he was like, oh, are you leaving? Oh, you have to stay and marry me. And I was like, ha, 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 that's funny.
Like, I need to run to my flight right now. I still can't get over the fact that Andrea told someone she was a porn star.
Have you guys ever done that when you go out and you pretend that you're a different person?
I fibbed about things, but I don't think I've ever said I was a porn star.
You should try it because
you can do the splits really well.
I can do the splits really well, and I'm very flexible, but I don't think I look like a porn star.
I don't think I would ever honestly present myself as a porn star, but I would totally try other things, like I'm a massage therapist, or
I'm a dental hygienist. Now I wanted to keep doing
that's
it.
That's sexy.
To see guys' reactions, because this guy was so excited.
Amped on that.
I mean, it changed everything for him.
I'm sure it did. There is something to be said about, you know, especially if you're in a foreign country, being able to have this different persona. Like, I've done that in bars here before, and I've, like, faked accents. I always do the southern accent. Well, not anymore. But, like, I used to do a southern accent when I would get drunk, and I would pretend I was like, I'm from Kentucky. I can't even really do the accent. But I would make up this whole story, and then I would wake up the next morning and be like, why did I do that?
Because
and
it's so fun. Funny.
It's funny. But especially if you're in a foreign place, though, and you're probably never going to see him again.
You're never going to see these people again. Same for New York. You go out and have these crazy New York nights, and you meet someone, and maybe you exchange numbers, but you're probably not going to text each other.
Right.
So why not? it was. And then later in the night, we were dancing, and if you guys know me,
Andrea loves a dance battle.
I love me a good dance battle, but I'm not really a good dancer. So it's funny because
you are.
I don't know. I can do moves, but I don't really know rhythm. Like, I don't feel the beat. So I'm always a little off, but I was going for it as a dancer. And in my mind, I kept thinking, this guy thinks he hit the jackpot and he's dancing with a porn star.
Wait, what did you say your name was?
No, I had my name. I didn't. Okay. He didn't ask my porn star name, which I don't know what mine would be. Isn't it, don't you do something, it's the street you grew up on and your first pet or something?
I saw today, actually, on Facebook, I was scrolling through, and it was someone had put it up, and it was like, put, I think it was your street name and then the last thing you ate. So if that's the case, what would yours be?
Oh, Valley View String Cheese.
Wait, so, wow. That doesn't surprise me.
I guess maybe Valley String.
Valley String?
Or Valley Cheese.
Valley Cheese, ew.
No.
Gross.
I was going to say, for Valley String, you just, like, be the G-string girl, but Valley Cheese, I don't want to even go.
Valley String is
not bad.
What about View String?
View String.
Oh, ooh. View String. Mm-hmm. Wait, not bad.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mine would be Mine would be Baker Lake mac and cheese. So
Baker Mac.
Baker Mac. And then I'm a chef. I don't know. Dee, what would yours be?
Oh my god. It would be Junko Omelet.
Ooh.
Junko.
Junko is such a fun name.
It's apparently the name of a bird. I lived on Junko Court. It was a cul-de-sac.
I like that.
Junko omelet.
Okay, sorry. Sorry about...
Wait, no, that's really fun, though. I hope everyone listening is doing the same thing.
Yeah, if you're not doing it, you're boring. Dee, get back to this marriage proposal, please.
No, it's not important, honestly.
Dude,
honestly, it was just... What if she had to?
Caitlin's taking it very seriously.
I wanted to.
I don't see a ring on the finger.
No, I'm just saying, like, when it happened, I was like, why can't this happen, like, on a normal basis? But anyway, I found that being, like, blonde in Morocco was actually a really big problem.
Really?
You just stand out like a fucking sore. Like, you just stick. Everyone was staring at me like, who is this alien?
So uncomfortable.
It was awful, actually. It was one of my least favorite things about Morocco. All of that aside, I loved seeing, like, a really different culture from mine. But the downside to that was that it was misogyny to another level that we don't really see here. I feel like after that trip, it gave me so much perspective. Like, wow, like, the minor harassment I'll experience when I go up to Spanish Harlem is nothing to walking through the souks, having everyone oogle and like, being just like, oh, hey, where are you from? And just like very aggressive.
Wow. What were you wearing?
So I remember I was going to say,
which is the first thing where everyone, obviously, it shouldn't matter what you're wearing. It shouldn't happen.
No, but isn't there a sort of dress
like
code there?
Yeah. I was wearing loose pants and a long sleeve everywhere I went, and I still got harassed.
I remember
with my friend Naushaba, who like, like she's, we both just didn't have our hair covered, and I think that was like it just made you stand out. I just, especially more so than her, looked so Western. So it's just.
Do they do the same thing for the ladies that live there?
Absolutely not. No, why would they? Because those women are not, they, I'm just saying, like, sometimes it's a cultural thing, especially in a Muslim majority country, to assume that Western women are, you know, like, to be treated kind of like whores, like, that we're not modest, so therefore they can kind of verbally abuse. It's like a weird. Yeah, it's just another, you know, way that, you know, women exist in the world. So.
Did anyone say anything to you, or was it all just with the looks?
Of course they said stuff to us. They said stuff to us constantly. Where are you from? Hey, American.
Did they do it in English?
Yeah. Or, yeah, mostly English. Yeah.
Hmm.
But besides that, it was fine. I think the people, like, the ones who really took care of us at these Riyadhs, it's like a type of hotel. They were so kind and like hospitable, and it was overall like a really amazing experience, but it definitely, again, it gave me perspective that a lot of women in the world don't have the liberty that we have here, like especially in New York City, but like United States, Canada, places where women don't have to like cover their entire bodies and hair just to be treated with like dignity, you know? So that was really interesting.
It's really interesting and eye-opening, because I know that I haven't been to Morocco, but I do know that their women are treated horribly, if you will, in my opinion, compared to. And also, even on the train today, like, I'm wearing a dress, and I was, like, very self-conscious, because I didn't realize it's not skanky by any means.
No,
but
we can see your boobs.
All right, Andrea.
No, Caitlin, you usually don't show your boobs off.
I'm not showing my boobs, by the way.
Like, that's not showing off her
it's
boobs.
Like, compared to it's a tiny bit. What Caitlin usually wears. I like it.
But I don't want it to sound like I'm a whore. It's, like, a tiny bit coming down. You can kind of see, like, a tiny bit of cleavage. Nothing really.
Mm-hmm.
But even that, I was like pulling it up on the train today and like feeling self-conscious.
Oh,
know?
I'm always self-conscious here about like any kind of like chest. Like today I'm wearing a tank top and I still feel like, I don't know, I feel awkward about it when I'm on the train and stuff.
It's, oh, really?
It sounds kind of silly, but I'm just kind of like, the more flesh I show, the more like, you're just more exposed.
That's why you say that I don't wear revealing clothing, and that's why.
That's why I wear like very androgynous clothing most of the time, because I already have a very feminine body. I don't need to exaggerate my femininity, if that makes sense.
No, I mean, I just don't, I don't have big boobs or anything, so I can get away with wearing really low shirts, and it's not a big deal.
But see, this is the thing. This dress, like, maybe I'll get a photo in this dress just for this purpose, so everyone can see.
I think you should.
But it's, like, a cute, respectable dress, but I'm saying, like, even that, like, it's a tiny bit, and you're like, oh, you're showing boobs, I know you're joking, and you're my friend, but, like, but that's why I get uncomfortable wearing shirts that are, like, a little bit low cut, because...
Oh, my gosh, if I had your boobs, I would...
But see, you say that, but it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, I get looks and I get talked about and talked to when I wear like a V-neck or anything like that. It makes me so uncomfortable.
Mm. Wait, really? So do you notice just people on the street looking at you?
Yes. On the train, that just happened. And like, literally, you can't really even see anything.
Yeah. Happens to me too. It's weird. But yeah, totally.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I want to take you guys on a little tour to city. I've got two more to cover. So we've got Amsterdam. That was cool in itself. Have you guys been to Amsterdam?
No, but I've heard it's incredible.
So different. Now, imagine this. They have this unreal... Everyone there bikes. Like, everyone there bikes. So I legit saw this woman, like, with a swaddled infant biking. Because it's so normalized there for everyone to just be speed biking down. So it looks like a bike race everywhere you go.
That's crazy.
That's amazing.
For me, it was too much. We were also just, like, stoned out of our minds. So it was just like, oh, my God.
Wait, because it's legal there.
It's legal and it's strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you just high the whole time?
Of course we were. Like, what else? What other way is there to be? And it's funny, too, because this was my second time to Amsterdam. The last time I was there was, like, 2010.
And so this time around, it was just almost exactly like the time before, where I ended up having to power smoke all this marijuana because, like, my friend the first time had some reaction and he'd bought, like, extra weed. Probably a bad idea in general. But so then I barely remember that trip. But this time around, it was like, I ended up buying some and it turned out to be so strong that you don't go through it as much as you, like, normally would. So I ended up, again, like, I ended up bringing it with me to other cities, but shh, don't tell. Oh. But it was great. Like, that's one of the great things about traveling in Europe is that you don't have to go on the airlines. You don't have to, you know, take a plane and not bring
How did
you
get from place to place?
Trains. We did the Eurorail.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah.
Interesting. Did you go to the red light district?
Of course we did.
How is that?
It was unreal. We went. So we saw a sex show, but it wasn't really a sex show. It was just like a naked girl touching herself.
Oh, and
it was
great. Like, interesting.
It was like we went into
the scene.
It was like, okay. So it was like you walked
all
in. It was so cheap. It was
Andrea
like,
perks up.
It was like €2 or something. Like, it was totally hilarious. So we go in and you go into like these like separate, like almost like cages as a viewer. And then so the lights go up and then it opens up into this like circular room, and there was a girl on this like rotating bed, and she was just like she was like teasing, like she was like, oh, I'm gonna masturbate, but she didn't really masturbate. It was just like whatever. It was
she's
like
naked.
Yeah, but it was like a George Michael video. Like, it wasn't like,
how long was this, did this last?
It was like a 5 minute show tops.
So
it
was really, she didn't actually masturbate. She was just teasing
herself. She was
herself?
Literally okay. Just like touching herself while naked. So it was just like,
oh, interesting.
But again, we were so blazed. Like, everything was just super amplified. Like, we were like, whoa, that was weird.
Wait, that's amazing. The thing is, I feel like because first of all, I cannot smoke weed because I am a mess. I think everyone is against me. So that's why I stick to drinking, because I do not mix well with pot. So I think if I was there, I would be losing my shit. At this thing.
Yeah.
That would be a highlight.
Not only that, the bikes would freak you the fuck out.
Yeah. The bikes are freaking me out right now.
They freak
thinking
me
about
out
it.
In general. I was like, what is this? I was like, how do people function here? You just
especially
always.
If you're stoned and trying to bike.
Oh, yeah. No, but you had to constantly be. There's trams, there's bikers. It's so insane. I loved Amsterdam for the food and the weed. I could never live there. It would be like a panic attack.
What is the food like?
The food was delicious. It was just very, like, almost, dare I say, like, American style, but yeah. It wasn't. You know, you had, like, your typical European fare, and then, you know, like, everything was just good. It was just, like, good quality. Potatoes, seafood, all that stuff.
Oh, you had me at potatoes.
Oh, yeah. Like, their fries in Europe in general are just, like, pretty good. Yeah.
What was the best food that you had, like, in
best
which
food?
Place?
Ever was in Paris. Best food was in Paris, hands down. Like, best salmon I've ever had. It was my first night in Paris. We went to this restaurant in the Latin Quarter. It's called Le Petit Prince. It's like the Little
Ooh.
Prince. And it was
wow,
so...
Cute. When you just said that, I got a little hot.
Say it again.
Le Petit Prince.
Oh. Can you just do a recording of that?
And yes, seriously.
Before I go to bed every night.
It was
I know,
fun.
I want you to record my voicemail in French. That just reminded me of the beautiful, amazing girl in Inglorious Bastards. And that's my favorite movie. So
love that movie
I know.
So much.
Okay, sorry,
did
continue.
You speak a lot of French?
I spoke French for, like, the majority of my trip,
oh,
I think.
You say
well,
a full sentence.
Not when I was, like, obviously with my friend and her brother, but, like, to the locals.
Can you say something about me and Andrea?
Oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah, something nice.
Us. Okay.
Don't say something mean, it'll crush us.
If anyone speaks French, they're going to find out.
Okay. Are you ready?
We're
okay.
ready.
Alors, j'ai des amis. Elles s'appellent Caitlin et Andrea. Et elles sont très, très, très jolies et très, très, très aimées. Et j'espère que nous sommes aimés pour toute la vie, peut-être pour toute la foi.
I heard Andrew is amazing.
I will
so
marry you.
Wait, so
what did
it?
You say?
It wasn't that great, but it was no. I mean, it was complimentary, but it was like she's amateur. But it was basically. I have two friends. They're named Andrea. They're absolutely... Yeah, no, no, no. They're absolutely... They're really beautiful and really kind, and I hope that we're friends for all of time.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's so funny when people speak a different language, though, or you're trying to. Because I'll do a little Spanish, and like, me gusta hablar en español, es muy divertida, me gusta mi amigas, and it's like, I like to speak in Spanish. I have
but
friends.
But that's beautiful.
But it's so basic.
I mean, I dated a guy from Paris when I was like 20. Oh, no, it was when I was 21. I met him on the train. And because at the time I was recruiting for Abercrombie and he was beautiful. And so I literally, as I was getting off the train, I threw my recruiter card at him and he looked so confused. And he sent me a text later and was like, so I don't know what this was, but I don't have a green card, but can I take you to dinner? And I was like, yes. Ooh, so anyway, we went out for like a few weeks or maybe months. I don't remember. And every time we'd go to dinner, I was like, let's go to a French place because I wanted him to speak in French because it was like the hottest thing ever. And I would try to get him to teach it to me and I just never could get it. Like, I can't. But I think it's the sexiest language.
Oh, I think so,
yeah. Oh. Antoine, if you're listening.
Yeah, Danielle has that in her back pocket. Love it. Yeah.
Okay, so you speak French. Do you speak anything else that you used while you were there?
I used a little bit of Arabic in Morocco, but like not like I didn't have like conversations in Arabic.
Yeah,
I just was.
That's so
like,
cool that you know that though.
Yeah, I like that I can kind of like vibe with people in that sense. You know, it's like, oh, if you greet them in their language, it's just it immediately kind of opens up that like, hey, like let's chat. You know, yeah. I don't know.
It's so worldly.
Yeah. But I do remember when I was in Paris, like we basically were told that people were going to be rude to you if you didn't try to speak French to them because it's very different. And not to offend anyone, but it's different if you come to America. Like, obviously, I'm speaking as majority, but I'm saying, like, if someone were to come up to me and they'd be like, no inglés, you know, whatever, I would try my best. But in Paris, we found that when we were like, we speak English, no, you know, whatever. People just kind of like shut us off, which was interesting. And also I understand it, but yeah, like I want to go back when I've learned a little bit. So did you find that people were kind of more like open to?
Well, it's funny you say that because when we sat down for our first dinner for the first night we arrived in Paris, the woman who was waiting on us slash hosting slash just running the whole thing. She came to us with the menus and she asked them, she's like, do you want menus in English? And then she looked at me and she goes, oh, but I'll get you a French menu.
Oh.
Like, she was like, I'm going to get you a French menu, like, wink, wink.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was very flattered because she was like, no, no, really, keep trying because it's good that you're trying. You know, like,
yeah.
So yeah, I think they do
appreciate.
Kind of, they positively affirm that, learning their language at the very least is important, not only for us, but for them. So,
yeah. Well, and it's a respect thing. And like, you know, if I were to go back, I really would try. And I like when I went to Italy, I tried a little bit. Granted, like my cousin's husband is from Italy, so he was helping us, you know, obviously. But yeah, I think it's a respect thing. You know, if you go to someone's country, try to learn a little bit.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. You know, and yeah, Paris was cool, but there was something. Oh, you guys, I went to Munich. That was really interesting. I don't know that you hear a lot about it, but what I was told was it's very, like, kind of depressed, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Oh. So when we got there, I did notice we weren't there for that long, granted. I tried to make the most of it during the day, and then Noshaba and her brother were doing, like, a wanderlust thing there. So I will say it kind of had a low vibration, but also, I mean, you're dark, so we can go there for a second.
You pointed
so,
at me, yeah.
Also, I'm dark,
Andrea.
Too. Okay, I love Caitlin. That you pretend I'm like this light, airy creature.
Right,
Daniel, always.
I'm like
yes.
Dark,
no,
almost
Caitlin,
scary
you
dark.
Are definitely a Wednesday Addams.
For sure. We are all so
no.
dark.
So as we were getting into Munich that night, we're driving up this like parking garage, basically, to get to our hotel. And I'm like, wait, this looks really familiar. And our driver goes, he said in French because our driver spoke French. So he was like, so, by the way, this is where the Israeli athletes were massacred in 1972.
Oh my God.
In, like, that compound. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. So it was really, like, so the whole compound / campus there, we were staying at the Olympic campus in Munich. So it was like the whole thing had been created for all the athletes that year. So now, in 2018, those buildings are used for student housing, apartments, you know, our hotel. But it was weird.
That's
and
so eerie.
Yeah, it was weird. And I asked the concierge when we got there, I was like, you know, is there any, like, memorial or anything, like, to these athletes? And he didn't really know. He was like, I think so. I don't know where it is. He ends up giving me, like, a printout of, like, a black and white photo of the memorial or something. And he was like, I think it's over here. And I was just like, this is kind of insulting, but
absolutely. I'm not too familiar with the story. How are they massacred?
Oh, so basically the entire like Israeli Olympic team in 1972 was murdered by like the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization. They sent people to go like murder them.
Oh my God.
It was during the middle of the night. If you've ever seen the movie with Eric Bana, it's actually a pretty good like retelling of the story. But yeah, it was shocking. Like my dad was just a young boy when it happened. So if you can imagine, like, think about it this way. Can you imagine if our Olympic team was just like massacred by a bunch of terrorists? Like,
I'm assuming they were all shot. Is that kind of?
Yeah, they were. I'm pretty sure they were shot and like stabbed.
Oh,
it was like terrible.
God.
So, like I said, this is a dark thing. But that being said, staying there was just bizarre because it had like this eerie, again, low vibration of a city. There wasn't like a whole lot going on there, which maybe is typical for some Olympic cities, you know? So that was interesting.
Me all creeped out.
Yeah, it was weird. It was really weird. But anyway, did see a beautiful bartender there. My God.
Daniel, you gotta act on these things.
I know. Speaking of, while I was there, you know, you get a lot of time on these trains. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I downloaded like 3 dating apps.
Yes.
Which ones did you download? I'm so excited.
Oh my God, you guys. It's obviously like not Raya. I'm not there yet. I don't have like a blue check mark by my name.
Raya is overrated. And I don't even care if I get kicked off. Because you're not supposed to talk about Raya, but sorry.
Oh
That's
my
so
God.
Dumb. It's
That's
like Fight Club.
But you are not missing out.
So what did you download? Tinder,
so
probably? And Bumble,
so
maybe?
So embarrassing.
It's
no, you're not even going to think of the ones. Okay, yes, Tinder. Ugh. So Tinder. I also do Inner Circle, which
I don't
whatever.
Know what that is.
You just, the only caveat or whatever. What am I saying? The only thing is you have to be invited, but that doesn't really make it exclusive, but it kinda does.
It's kind of like the League.
Yes.
I'm on the League. It's a similar thing. It's not that hard to get
it's
on.
It's kind of the same idea. Yeah, same idea.
Stuff.
Yeah. So there's that. And then, oh my God, last but not least, J Swipe.
Okay. Yes!
Also,
I was hoping you were going to say
oh
that.
Oh my God.
Wait, this is so funny because I just smashed with the founder of J Swipe on Raya, and haven't you matched with him before?
No, he followed me on Instagram.
I matched with him before.
So, how
like a
funny
year ago,
is
maybe.
That? So, Caitlin has matched with this guy. I just matched with him and was having a conversation with him, and he followed you on Instagram.
It was just really weird. Yeah.
So, this is why I think we have to get him on the podcast.
That would be hilarious.
And
he's
totally the founder of J Swipe. It's on brand.
Totally on brand. Absolutely.
Now, also, it's funny to me that I didn't match with him on J Swipe. I matched with him on a different app. So, it's like, obviously, like, you're not using your own app because you know, that'd be like...
Yeah, what app was he on when you...
I think
Bumble
it was Bumble.
Yeah.
Because I don't use Tinder. So, well, I mean, I don't use anything anymore. But at the time, I think I was using Bumble.
Yeah.
So.
I'm like, Tinder is so... Ugh.
Tinder sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. And then I was like, but is Bumble really that different? Or slash...
I think they're all kind of the same.
They're all kind of the same. And you know the whole thing with Hinge, it's like, oh, like a friend of a friend. That's too insular for me. Like, I don't want to date or fuck around with, like, a person who knows someone that I'm, you know, like, in a social circle. To me, it's just too close. I'd rather not have it be so connected.
But I think you should try Hinge. Because of all the dating apps I'm on, which is a lot, Hinge is my favorite.
Wait, really? So what's the deal with Hinge?
But I did it before.
But
now they have a revamp.
Oh. What's the deal with it, though? How does that one work?
Well, I think it's apparently a friend of a friend with Facebook, it's connected to. However, I have not run into seeing someone that I actually would know.
I used to see people I knew on Bumble, and I would, like, swipe left out of awkwardness, and then I would, like, see them in public, and they would be like, hey, saw you on Bumble. I'm like, why are you bringing this up? Like, come on, don't make this any more uncomfortable than it already is.
Oh, I always just screenshot and send it to them directly. Like, hey there.
I purposefully, you guys, put my settings so that it's like men aged like 34 and up because I don't ever want to see any of the guys that I like had flings with ever again on any of these apps. And you know they're still on these apps. Like, you know they are.
Yeah. Wait, so did you match with any babes while you were gone?
So were they set for New York? The settings were New York, or they were overseas?
It was for example, Inner Circle, I had my search settings on just guys in New York, but guys wherever I was, guys could view my profile. So I was getting German dudes and like French dudes and Dutch dudes, and like I was just like, eh, sorry, bro, can't do it. Like,
yeah,
but. I was, and with Tinder, the same thing. I don't even go on J Swipe, like, no offense. But I don't, because I don't know. I think it's like a, an afterthought for me. I'm like, well, let's see if the Jews are doing anything, you know. So
you're back on the apps.
I'm back on the apps. Yeah, I didn't think I would be because I was like, oh no, real life. And then I was like, real life is not that interesting either. So you might swipe.
Did you get back on while you were there?
While I was there.
But then you didn't meet anyone.
No,
so were you just doing
not.
It out of like boredom on the train?
Absolutely. 100%. I did it out of boredom and thirst. Like I was there and I was like, dude, I need to get back in the game. Like,
I'm just shocked you didn't like go get a beer or something with one of these guys.
I mean, I don't drink and
right
and it was so and it was like every well, it was like every city I went to, I was going to only be there for 28 to 72 hours. So what was the point?
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I think the main point is that the revelation is that you are ready to get back in the game
for sure.
I'm right there with you because remember I was on a guy cleanse. I had this realization the other day where I was like, why am I on a guy cleanse? To protect myself from getting hurt? That's so lame. And I don't have any good stories for the podcast because I'm not dating. I'm not seeing guys.
Yeah.
So I am going to get back out there.
Yeah.
And so, hey, we could meet
tag
some guys.
We'll tag team.
I'll be your wingwoman.
I'm really excited about it.
Me too.
I think
I'm
it's
so glad.
Good. I mean, I think... To answer your question of why you were on it, we talked about it. It was because you went from like a guy to another guy and they both sucked and you were hurt. And it was also just like, why am I wasting my time on people that like don't deserve my time? So maybe now like just be a little more selective about who right off the bat, if you get that vibe of like, oh, this guy's a chotch bag, then just like don't.
That is a new one.
Really?
I have never heard that in my life, but I love
really?
It. Yeah.
Chotch
bag. A dodo bird. It's whatever.
No, you're spot on, Caitlin. Also, I think I need to take it a little more slow. So because you guys know me, I will have a couple dates with someone and I'm hooked. I'm all in. So I think now I just want to have a slower approach. I did meet a guy last night who I'm going to take up on a date. So I was at an event and I met this guy, super handsome. We really hit it off. We were talking for an hour and a half at this event.
Oh,
and this
wow.
was an event where you're mingling. So normally you meet the person, you move on to the next person, whatever. But we started talking and I am kind of into him. The problem, there's two problems. The first one, okay, I don't know if this is necessarily a problem, but he's Mormon and doesn't drink. Drinking's a big part of my life. So this will be interesting. That's mm-hmm. the first thing. Second, I don't know his name.
What?
So you know when you first meet someone, usually you don't catch their name the first go around. So when I first met him, introduced ourselves to each other, and then we talked for an hour and a half, and his name never came up again.
Oh,
so
no.
So then when he had to leave, he took my number in his phone and put my name. So he has my full name, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he texted me that night and said, hey, I'm really glad that I came to that event because he wasn't going to go originally.
Mm.
Smiley face. I don't know his name.
You should text him back and be like, oh, how do I spell your name? I want to make sure I spell it right. Or like, what's your last name or something?
No, you know what? If it gets to this point, just be like, hey, what's your Insta handle? If you get there.
Well, yeah. I don't like doing that, though, because I don't like
you know
following
what?
People
you
on
should,
Instagram.
You should just be like, how would you like me to put your name in my contacts?
But then he's going to say, Mark.
Yeah,
M-A-R-K,
right?
Or whatever his name is.
Then you know his
then
name.
Then you know his name.
I know it was short. It was a short name. But my plan is I'll go on a date with him because he wants to hang out soon. And then I'll just try to figure it out when I'm there.
My one question for you is, are you in the spirit of doing things casually this time around?
No.
Okay. So that's good for you to be upfront about as well. Because I think before you didn't want casual, but these guys wanted casual. But you found out when it was like a little too deep in, and that's why you got hurt.
Yeah. I can't do that anymore because that is such a shitty feeling.
Yeah.
And you feel like a plaything, basically.
Mm.
So now I'm going to be very upfront with guys that I am not doing casual. I'm actually trying to seriously date without taking it too serious in the beginning. Let's
of course.
Just get to know each other. There's no pressure, but I'm not going to jump into anything. I'm not going to hook up with someone right away. Mm. I'm actually just going to get to know somebody.
Yeah.
And take that approach.
That's exciting.
It's interesting, though. I don't know. I have cousins that are Mormon, but it's a different lifestyle.
I have a friend that's Mormon. He actually drinks, but... Yeah, it is a different lifestyle. And listen, like, if having a glass of wine with dinner is a big thing for you, like, that actually is a thing for me where, like, I mean, I could date someone if they didn't drink, but it would be a little difficult only because, not because I have a problem with it, but because, like, when I go to dinner, you know, again, not every dinner, but I like to have a drink or, you know, I like to go out and have social drinks. And if I was dating someone that didn't also partake in at least having like a glass of wine, I might feel a little like judged or a little, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I like to get really drunk. So like, it's not just a glass of wine with dinner. It is full on wasted. So, but he doesn't seem very judgmental. Look, I just met this guy. It might be a one date and done thing, but he's very interesting and we had a really good connection. So we'll see.
But it's good to know that you're like ready to get back out there with a different mindset too.
Yes.
You know,
that's the thing. I have a different mindset and I don't have to worry about, I think I was so worried about getting hurt again because of those last two guys just wanting casual. And it's a big blow to my ego. Especially when the one guy had guitar lessons at 9 p.m. Whatever. Not bitter about it. Talking about
it. I can't get
later.
Over that. But also like, I'm sorry, I can't get over the guitar lesson thing.
Fuck that
and
guy.
I just snort laughed.
Hate that guy.
I hate him too.
I played it cool for so long.
I hate him too.
Fuck you and your guitar lessons.
I was never into it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, you suck, dude. But yeah, I mean, listen, it's different. You took a step back. You kind of are like, okay, this is what I'm willing to put up with and what I'm not willing to put up with. So I think like going forward, you just have to be really adamant about those things instead of like, you know, if you meet someone that literally is like, I want to do casual, you're like, yeah, me too. It's like, no, I don't. Like, even if I'm interested in you, I don't want to do that.
That's exactly what I was doing. Guys would say, oh yeah, I'm just doing a casual thing. And I would agree thinking I could. I can't do it. Now I know. New approach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
New me.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yes, queen.
Let's find our
new
boyfriend.
Season, new Andrea.
Wow. Anyway.
Yes.
Wait. Now so, we, and yeah. Do you also want to get back in
yeah,
the
what's
dating
your
ring?
Are you looking for casual or serious relationships?
I don't feel like fucking with anyone who isn't potentially going to be someone who I find interesting and worth keeping around. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, it does.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm just at a place where I'm like, let's see if you're good enough first. Seriously.
Yeah. This is exciting, though. I think we're going to have a lot more stories in the dating world.
Yeah.
I need to start getting stories from something else because, like, my boyfriend doesn't live here. So I can talk about, like, our FaceTime and, like, how much it sucks that he's not here.
Please detail your FaceTime.
They're really entertaining, actually. No, but, yeah, maybe I'll start taking up, like, a new hobby. I'll come in. I'll be like, guys, I took a sculpting class. That's what we've come to, which is actually, that would be fun. Nothing against sculpting.
No, but that's, like, better than, like, basket weaving.
Yeah,
like,
listen, at this point, I'm all in to try anything new. I think it'd be fun, but
all right. Well, what's on my mind is, I don't know if you guys saw, but my family was just in town, which was so exciting. But I don't know how you guys feel when your family visits. It makes me feel so weird because it dawned on me, I've been in the city for 7 years now, and this isn't just a trial and error thing anymore. I'm living here. I am full on living here. My mom brought that to my attention. She was like, Andrea, you've been in New York
home.
For 7 years. This is my home. So I kind of have accepted that. And I think there's a reason I moved 9 times in 6 years is because I never wanted to accept that this was my home. But when my family came, all stayed in my small apartment. It was a really fun time. I kind of realized, yeah, I'm here. Did you guys have that moment where you realize that New York is now home and it's not just a temporary thing?
I think I continuously have that. I think I actually had that every time I go back to Ohio to home. My mom gets really upset when I call New York home. Like, obviously she accepts it, but I've been here 8 years. So it is my home. It's where I live. It's where all my stuff is, whatever. It's where my career is. But I have two homes. I have New York home, then I have Ohio home, like my home where I'm from, and then I have my home where I live. So it can maybe be confusing for people when they're talking to me. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going home. They're like, which home? But yeah, I mean, I think this past trip when I was just in Ohio, like I was in Ohio for 10 days. And as I got back here, I was starting to kind of look at New York really differently. And I was also really sad because I just had left Sam, my boyfriend, who that's not his real name, but that's what we're calling him. And so I was really sad. And I got back and I was like, I don't want to be here. And I kept saying that on the phone to him. And he was the one that was like, yes, you do. This is where your life is. Like, you love it there. But I think when you're gone and then you come back, it's, and maybe D, you just experienced this as well, because it was more drastic. But you know, when I come back, I get a little overwhelmed because it's just so many people and constant and sounds and you can't escape the heat and whatever. So I don't know. I mean, that was like a weird tangent to talk about it. But yeah, I mean, I've realized that this is home a lot and then also realized randomly recently, maybe this isn't going to be home forever, which is like something that I've always thought the opposite.
Well, I think it's different, too. Now you have a boyfriend that's out of state.
Yeah.
So that changes things, because then you see the world a little differently. Where, for me, I've almost come to the realization that this could be my home forever, which is so scary to think of.
It's exciting, though.
Yeah.
I think I want it to be my home forever, and also, like, now I'm not opposed to the idea of, like, living upstate sometime. You know, like, I think for so long I was like, I'm going to live in Manhattan for the rest of my life, and now I'm like, yeah, well, maybe not, just because, like, it is kind of nice to get out of the city sometimes and to have some calm and some nature and whatever. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I still love New York, but yeah, it's a little different now.
It's funny because I didn't know if my mom listened to this podcast, and she definitely does. It's fine.
No.
We've only talked about fisting on one episode.
Yeah,
it's
no
totally
big deal.
Fine.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
But I didn't know that, but I found that out because it's as if my apartment is a scene for some of the episodes, because they were at my apartment without me because they had to drop off their stuff, and they ran into the hot neighbor from downstairs.
Oh, my
gosh. And they
knew
it was him because he's super hot, and there aren't a lot of...
Is he wearing flannel?
He's probably wearing
flannel.
Yeah, which, by the way, his girlfriend is living there now.
Okay.
I ran into them, but she doesn't know. I don't think they listen to the podcast. Like, no one knows. It's totally fine. And when we were up in my apartment, my mom asked which window the doctor is.
That's what I was hoping you were going to say.
It was probably six episodes back when I was spying through the window with this guy I was dating. Probably why I'm on a guy cleanse, because I got batshit crazy for a while there. Yeah. So they were wondering which window the doctor lives
in. That's incredible.
That's so funny.
Bad.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
I actually, like, love that. I love that your mom is into our podcast.
I know.
It's fine.
I know. My mom listens, and she's like, just keep in mind, mom's listening. I was like, yeah, I don't say anything that I wouldn't say to you. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I totally, like, glazed over this. How did it feel coming back for
you?
Oh,
my God. You know, it's, you guys, it, like, warmed my heart so much when, once I got, like, once I re-entered the States, and, like, I went through my passport, and then finally I, like, went into, like, where you, like, exit all of customs and everything. I didn't even have to go through customs, but, like, you know, the re-entry point. And I just heard, like, two or three times in a row from, like, the people that worked there were like, welcome home. And I was like, I was like, that's so
was
nice.
Was that your moment of, like, New York's my home?
I knew New York was my home, and I think the trip really, like, reaffirmed that, because I've been here, like you, Andrea, for 7 years, and
so
you've been
crazy.
Here 8,
yeah.
Right? I have moved 7 times
oh
in
God.
7 years.
I've lived in one apartment for 7 years or 6 years.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
It's, yeah, I mean, you know, and I finally, the place that I'm in now, I think it's just kind of making me realize more and more, like, no, like, you're kind of, whether you want to admit it or not, Danielle, like, you're kind of settled here for now. You're settled here for now. You'll probably put in at least another 5 years, and we'll see.
Gosh, it's so crazy.
Yeah,
I know. It's cool, though. I think it's, I'm speaking for all of us, I'm proud of us that we've made New York our home, because I don't think that everybody can.
Oh.
No,
I've been living out here as a theater major and in the acting world. I've seen so many people come and go, because it is a tough, tough city.
Yeah.
And especially, obviously, you guys know I'm preaching to the choir here, but this business is so tough. Mm-hmm. It drains you. Mm-hmm. You feel so insignificant. Mm-hmm. And it's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. So I'm proud of us too for sticking it out.
Well, it's like when we had Mike Coscarelli on, and we were talking about the city and how there's all these pros and cons. And it's so funny, because that a majority of that conversation in that episode was just complaining about the city. And then at the end it was like, but we love
but
it.
We're all
we're
comedic
here.
People. So what else are you going to do besides complain? That's comedy.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and also, like, I have to complain about the fact that the trains suck in the summer. Otherwise I'm just going to be miserable. Like,
I had to complain about the fact that I got kind of hit. I mean, I got almost run over slash
exactly.
hit by a car.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just have to vent about the place where you actually love.
Well, every city has their thing, but New York is just so intense all the time.
But I actually felt like when I was traveling in Australia, I missed New York, which is crazy because I've been wanting a trip. I've been wanting a trip for so long. I finally got to go on this trip to Fiji, Australia. It was crazy, spontaneous, amazing with one of my best friends. And I had this weird anxiety, which I don't have anxiety now, which I'm so lucky. But I have a feeling of the start of anxiety. And there's a part of me that really wanted to come home. And then when I was just in LA for a bachelorette party, which was so short, there was a part of me that just wanted to get back to New York, which is so crazy.
That happened to me quite often on the trip. I would vacillate between, I think this trip was great for me because it was a challenge in mindfulness. It was a challenge in just being present. Don't think about yesterday. Don't think about tomorrow. And that was the point of the trip, was to just take in the world as much as I could. But believe it or not, that was very hard for me. It's very hard for me to be mindful. So that was like a challenge. But I also often just felt like, home is definitely New York. Like, I could just tell, like, everything, you know, everything. I'd be like, oh, yeah, but it's not New York. You know, like, just, I don't mean it in, like, a snobby, elitist way. It just, I realized how great it is to live here. It's so great to live here.
And there's a comfort here. Even though it is a crazy city, it's comfortable to know that we can get anything at any time. Mm-hmm. And we can go do anything we want. We can go see Broadway shows. And we could go do all of these things. And then, you know, like, I have been in my apartment for 6 years with the same roommate. So that really is home. Like, that we've made it our home. And that's also comforting. Mm-hmm. Like, knowing that you have a little pocket in the city of craziness that just feels comfortable and safe. Yeah. Like, that's awesome.
I don't know. Like, this is, I might get flack for this down the road, but I really, after traveling, was like, New York's the best city in the world. New Yorkers say it. I believe it. No, it's the best city in the world. You have everything here. And, you know, granted, yeah, it's not California. It's not like, you know, you don't have the cost of living that Montana has. But look, you have everything you need besides that here.
You have to be built for it, though.
Yeah.
With my family here, I mean, my family in New York,
do they like New York?
They like it to visit, but they could never live here because we grew up on a farm. Yes. They like space. They like animals. So I think you have to be the type of person that can make it here. And I'm very go, go, go. I like the energy. So when I go back home to Wisconsin, I'm so bored. But it's not for everyone. That's for sure.
Of course
I know
not.
We sometimes get emails from people saying that they're scared to live in New York or move here because we tell all these horror stories of it.
But there's so many beautiful stories, too, you know. I mean,
if you're tough and you're down to try just living this full crazy life that New York City is, then it's always worth a shot, I think. But, you know, you have people who come here and they have like breakdowns, or it didn't work out the way they thought, and they have to go elsewhere, and that's fine too. You know, and I don't, even as a New Yorker now, I don't know that I want to be here for forever, and that's fine.
But I think you also have to have the open mind, because I've had friends that have moved here for a few months and, like, given up. And listen, like, I understand if it really isn't for you, but I also know that, like, a few months in, I also wasn't fully obsessed with it either, because you have to kind of get your footing and you have to find your people and, you know, whatever. And so, I don't know, I always say to everyone, like, give it a year. At least give it a year when you move here.
Give it three years.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I've given it now 8 when I thought I would be here for a few months and then I would go to LA because that was the program I was in. But there's also something to be said about, every time I land, as soon as the plane lands, I immediately get into like New York mode where I'm like, don't talk to me. Don't, like, I gotta keep walking. You know, it's like a different, when I land in Ohio, I'm like, oh, smiling at everyone. I'm like talking to strangers. I don't know.
Well, sometimes you wonder if you'd be happier in a different city. Cause I don't know. We were talking about this earlier today cause I was texting you guys, but today, like right now you would never know it because I'm with people. It's exciting. I'm really happy because whenever I'm with people, I'm happy. But I was at work and just in the worst mood ever. Honestly, I hated myself and I was in this slump where I was so negative, so much self-loathing. And granted, there's a lot of stress because we now have a weekend show at my job that's going to be on TV. Which is so exciting.
That's very exciting.
I've been at my job for 3 years. We've just been online, which is fine or whatever. But now we have a weekend show that's going to be on TV across the country.
That's awesome.
Granted, it's going to be playing where? Atlanta at 3 a.m. or Nashville at 4 a.m. You never know. But it's one of those things where you could be in a hotel and I could have my own entertainment show. I'm co-hosting it with my co-host Jeremy on TV. So I'm really excited. But we were filming today and I just hated everything about me. I hated how I delivered lines. I hated how I looked. I hated my body. And I'm wondering if it's just because I'm here in the city without family, without the things that matter. Because granted, my family just was here. And with them, I feel really happy and safe. And then I just had the worst day ever. And I'm wondering if it's a part of living here and being in the business.
I mean, maybe.
Or is that a normal feeling? Like, do other people, do you guys go through periods where you love yourself and then sometimes you hate everything about you?
Yes.
Well, I'm 1,000% bipolar, so yeah. It's like a given. It's like my life on like a daily basis. Every hour is different for me. I have rapid cycling, so every hour I feel different. My job is to just keep it as contained as possible.
I mean, I feel that way all the time. And also when I find that when I'm around my family, especially, or friends from home, as soon as they leave, I'm completely depressed because it's just kind, it's like this taste of having like, you know, a sweet and then all of a sudden it's pulled out from you and you're like, but I'm still hungry for that. You know, like that's how it feels for me. And it always feels this really like, I compare it to if you were a theater kid in high school, which this is so silly maybe, but if you were, you might get it. At the end of every show closing, I was literally like depressed in high school because I had built this community and this family with my castmates and the crew, and you know, you were getting to see each other after school every day, and then as soon as it was over, it was like, yeah, we still see each other in school, but you don't have that sense of community. And it kind of always feels like that when my family leaves. It's just like I'm lost and I'm like empty. So yeah, I've felt that. And also, like, I think it is the entertainment business. Like, you're literally on camera for your job, and so people don't understand when, you know, if we talk about with other friends who aren't in the business of these insecurities, and they're just like, well, why? I think you look beautiful. And it's like, thank you. But also, you know, it's like I said to you earlier today, it's like, all I want for you as like my friend is to love yourself, because I love you and I know how incredible you are. And I also understand the other side.
Well, it's so weird. I think you make a good point. My family was just here. And when my family's here, I'm focused on them and the love we have for each other. I'm not on my phone. And then they leave and all of a sudden it's back to being all just in myself. And it's hard for me to, this is why even if I would go to a therapist or something, it's hard for me even to describe, because when I'm with people, I like myself. It's fine. It's just when I'm by myself and get in that weird, like, dark cycle. But so, I don't know, I guess, Danielle, like, you experience that stuff. Like, how do you get out of it? Because for me, like, I'll get in that. Like, I was so negative this morning, and I was scared that I wouldn't get out of it. But sure enough, a couple hours later, oh, I'm fine.
Well, okay, so first of all, so we're all in performance-based lines of work. So being that you're a performer in itself really comes along with a lot of self-critiquing, comes along typically with some form of perfectionism. As a person with a mood disorder, I find that self-loathing is one of my biggest symptoms. And it's actually, people don't talk about it that much, but people who have bipolar disorder are just kind of constantly beating themselves up. And it's more really like a negative cycle of thought. And so for me, when I find myself doing that, it's just taken me time to learn how to be like, Danielle, you're being ridiculously hard on yourself right now. And also this notion that, you know, you are your worst enemy. It's very true. And I think for me, I just remind myself, Danielle, you're being your worst enemy / harshest critic right now. Why is that? So once I started questioning it, it gave it less power for me to question it.
But I guess I wonder if I have all those symptoms. So am I undiagnosed something, or am I just moody as fuck? Because I've always chalked it up to me just being moody. Because, of course, in an hour or so, all of a sudden, oh, yeah, I'm fine. Right now, I can barely remember being in a bad mood. But when I was texting you guys, you could tell that I was really not in a good place.
Yeah.
And everyone at work could tell. It was me in this just bad, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the same way, though. Like, and that's why earlier when I said, you know, letting everyone in on our text conversation, you know, really, it's like I've been thinking about, you know, going to talk to someone as well, just because there are times where it's like it almost feels manic, and I don't want to diagnose myself because I'm not a professional. But I'm saying, like, there are times where my highs are so high that I'm literally like, let's plan a trip to Morocco. You know what I mean? Like, I'm very like, everything's incredible and I can do everything. And then literally 20 minutes later, I will be like on my couch sobbing for no reason, or just feeling completely depressed and empty. Like, I can't talk to anyone. I lose my appetite for the entire day. Like, and so I don't know, but I'm not professional. So in my opinion, like I said to you earlier, like, I think probably both of us should go talk to someone and just see, because listen, either they're going to say, yes, you're undiagnosed and here is something that we can do for that. Or it will be like, hey, maybe this is just a normal mood swing that people have, and maybe you should start meditating, or maybe you should start doing this, you know? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it's like, I do meditate, and I still feel that, and I do other things, and I try to go without drinking or go without whatever, and it still feels that way, so.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing for a lot of people is you'll feel this way, and you know that the easy solution, not solution, but what you should do is go to talk to a professional, but you still don't do it. I've been saying I should go see a therapist for, I don't know, a long, long time, but I guess I don't want to be diagnosed anything.
Yeah.
Because then, I mean, I don't know, a lot of the time I feel fine, but it's a really similar thing to what you're saying. It's like high highs, low lows, feeling kind of manic, and then all of a sudden hating myself, but then an hour later being obsessed with myself. Like, I can simultaneously love and hate myself at the same time.
Yeah, and it's also that feeling, do you ever feel this way of, people joke about it, but they're like, you see memes all the time on Instagram of like, me when I make plans with friends, and it's like happy and whatever, and then it's like when the day comes, and it's really,
yeah.
But honestly, that's how I feel half of the time when I make plans with people, because it's like, I'm so excited, really in the moment to have that plan, and then when the day comes, I'm like, if I'm in that mood, I literally just want to be like, can't make it, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to drop the ball on my friendships. I want to be there for people. I want to follow through with the commitment. So yeah, I don't know.
I flake a lot because I'll be in such a bad mood and I won't be fun to be around. So I always hope that my friends don't think I'm this huge flake.
No.
But when I'm in that mood, there's no way I'm going to go meet up or trek downtown or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess talking about it, it sounds like a lot of people experience this. Like, Caitlin, it sounds like you're similar and obviously...
Well, every human being is going to have highs and lows. That's totally normal. Like, I wouldn't categorize or classify yourselves as anything unless you go and take that step and see a doctor. But every person does experience highs and lows. That's totally normal. Every person at some point is going to have some form of acute depression that's typically caused by like a life event. That's totally normal. But when you find that these types of swings are like interfering with your daily functioning, or it's interfering with your personal relationships and also with your sense of self, that's when it's usually, you know, necessary for yourself to talk to somebody about it. You know, like, it's one thing to juggle around the idea of seeing a doctor, and it's another to actually take a proactive step, you know, with your mental health, essentially. But it's not easy for everybody. There's so much stigma when you talk about essentially what is a disorder of the brain, you know, but people treat it differently from a liver disorder, and they treat it differently from like a bone cancer. You know, it's just, it's always classified as a taboo thing that makes people uncomfortable. Well,
I was just going to say, look at what's happening.
Everyone has a brain, and not everyone has a healthy brain, and we shouldn't hold that against people. But, you know, because it affects the way you behave and so on and so forth, it makes people so uncomfortable, you know. But like you said, there have been so many, you know, we have all these things now where people are like, oh my God, this person had everything. How could they
exactly
commit suicide? Well, because people struggle with pain that you can't see a lot of the time.
Well, and I read something really insightful and beautiful. Now, of course, I can't remember who wrote it, but it was regarding, of course, Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain. And obviously, they're the two most recent people who have committed suicide, unfortunately. But obviously, there's a long list. And even in the past year, of all these people, and it is that, it's like, but they had everything. They were billionaires. They lived in this mansion, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, but that doesn't buy. And, you know, the thing that this person wrote was, when someone is in that deep, deep depression cycle, they probably will not reach out to you. And half the time when you're around them, you won't know that they're going through that.
Yeah.
It's that you're putting on a show, you're putting on the face, and we've all done it.
Because people are shamed when they express negative emotions.
Well, and you don't want, like you were saying, Andrea, you don't want to be a quote unquote buzzkill. Like, there's been so many times where I haven't gone to like birthday parties or something because I feel that way.
Yeah.
And by me showing up, it would literally just be, you know, and sometimes maybe what you do need is to go out and be around people so that maybe it can pull you out. But the last thing that you want to do is show up to coffee with a friend and just start crying in the middle of a place and be like, I don't know, I feel at the end of my line here. You know what I mean?
Well, I always think, too, though, there's people with serious diagnoses, and I feel like mine isn't that serious. Yeah, sometimes I hate myself, and then I talk to other people, and they feel the same way. So I guess I don't know how seriously I'm supposed to take it. Because, again, right now in this moment, oh, yeah, I'm fine. Great, I'll go to the gym, I'll go to bed, tomorrow's a new day. But this morning, I was feeling just so unstable and so much self-loathing.
I mean, I think the most important thing is, and it's, you know, unfortunately, from these horrible things that have just occurred to those people, you know, it brings to light again that mental health, like you're saying, Danielle, it's so important, and it is something that people need to take seriously. And so, like you're saying, like, I don't know how serious it is. It's like, yeah, because you're in a good space. Yeah. And when you're in that deep, dark space, like we were talking about, it's like when you're in a good mood, you can't really remember what that feels like until you're back in that. So like,
but it goes both ways.
Exactly.
I think when you're in a good mood, you don't remember how shitty you felt. And then when you're in a shitty mood, you don't remember how good you felt.
And you don't think you're going to come out of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's typically actually depression. Like, that is, in a nutshell, depression. When you can't see the good things that you've experienced, when you can't feel like those are even attainable or experienceable again, I mean, that is depression, because that's how it makes you think and look at the world. It's like wearing the opposite of rose-colored glasses.
Yeah. That's actually a really interesting way to put it. So it would be as if how I feel and how I felt this morning, but thinking I'm not going to get out of it. Where there was a part of me that knew, Andrea, you're going to get out of this. You do this all the time. You're in a funk. By tomorrow, you're going to feel okay. And I did. Yeah. So I guess that would be probably kind of what depression feels like, is feeling so low and so self-loathing that you also don't think that you're going to get better.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of times too, I know there's obviously different kinds of depression, but I know a lot of times, for me at least, it'll be brought on by nothing. Like, nothing actually happens
that's
to me.
Yeah,
and I just feel that dark cloud over me for no reason. And it won't be brought on by an event. It'll just be my brain. So I don't know. My bottom line is, I think that probably both you and I should go talk to someone, only because we are feeling this way, and like, it can't hurt. Like, literally, if you go and they just say, okay, no, you just needed to come talk to me, you know, fine, great. Mm-hmm. But also, like, maybe there's something that people can do. I don't know.
We should hold each other accountable and actually do it.
Yeah.
Deal?
Deal.
That was so begrudging.
No, that's the thing, though, is all of a sudden there'll be weeks where I don't even think about it.
I know.
It was just that we happened to be recording a podcast on a day that I was in it, you know?
Well, and that's the thing, too. It's like I told you earlier, I felt in a funk, and it wasn't even a low. It wasn't a low low. It really was just a funk. And again, nothing had really happened. But sometimes I just overthink a lot of stuff, and that puts me in that spiral head. So that's a different type of thing. But yeah, it's the same thing. It's like when I'm here and I'm sitting with you all, I feel great.
Yeah.
But that's because I'm quote unquote working. I'm with my friends. Like, I feel good. And I think a lot of times that's what happens. Like, I had an audition the other day, and I haven't been going out a lot. And I put...
I haven't either. Is it slow?
I think it's slow.
No, it's slow.
Okay,
I've
good.
I've been submitting, and, like,
I think it's really
things.
Slow.
I feel like that's always what people say.
I know.
Oh, my God. And one of...
And then it's, like...
One of them, you guys... One of them, they sent me sides, and it was just, like... You know when you get sides, and you're, like... Oh, no, no, no,
yes.
No.
That
no.
happens probably like 50%
of
the time.
They were on Microsoft Word.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They were a Word document. I was like,
they spelled, they said van instead of
I was just like,
van.
Screenwriting 101, bro. Like, it was so bad.
I mean,
it was so bad.
But
I'm not going to do it. I decided, like, I can't do that audition. Like, you know, because you know.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is like, the point of that story was that yes, auditions suck. And also, I had a day where I literally had an audition, something I had to put on tape, and then I had a screening of a short film that I had been in. So it was three things that I knew I had to be at, and I was so drained by the end of it, because I was talking to people, I was putting my best face on, and I was having a good time in the moment, but as soon as I got home, I was just like, I was completely in that funk zone again, because all my energy had been taken out of me and it was like already depleted. You know what I mean?
Sounds like an introvert issue.
No.
No?
You know me. I'm not an introvert.
Yeah, but
extroverted.
Like, sometimes you can be an extroverted introvert. An introvert is, at the end of the day, someone who feels
drained. But it wasn't that. It was because I was feeling this low, and I knew I had to dip in from this low pool and go do these three things, where I had to be on, I had to be smiley, I had to present to these people what they wanted. If I would have walked into this casting looking how I felt, it would have been just like, why are you here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Totally. Yeah.
Anyway, kind of sucks. I feel like a lot of people can relate to those feelings, and there's such a scale of all of that.
Yeah, but I think what's important here is that if you are feeling this way, don't put it off. Like, there's no reason to put off, you know, taking care of it. It's self-care. to see a therapist, whether you, you know, again, people have like a hard time admitting this kind of thing. But like at the end of the day, like your brain health is just as good as your body's health.
Well, and it's like, you know, what a lot of people have been saying, especially in light of recent events, it's like, you are important. Like, go talk to someone, talk to your friend, like, go reach out for help. Like, if you're listening to this, I mean, really.
And reach out to your friends, too.
Yeah.
That's what you were saying before, Caitlin, is when people are feeling really low. I mean, I'm different. I think we're different because we're very talkative. So if I'm feeling something, oh, I tell everybody, as I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
But I think some people don't like to talk about it. And those are the people that may be really struggling. And you just don't know.
I don't always, I don't like to talk about it most of the time, especially when I'm having a hard time.
Yeah.
Because I still feel to this day like an element of being ashamed of the fact that I am not functioning on the same vibration as people who are like super motivated and productive and all the things that are stolen from you when you have depression. So I just feel like coming at it with an empathy, knowing that isolating oneself is actually an act of self-preservation, because most of the time you don't want people to know that you even are thinking about ways to die, you know, really dark stuff. You're kind of like, okay, I'm not going to let people in on that world because it's not pretty, you know?
Yeah.
That's just my personal perspective.
So. Yeah. And I mean, I think, again, like, I'm not a professional, but do what is helpful for you. Like, I know earlier today when I was in that mood, I went to the park, and I know it sounds so silly, but I think honestly being in the sunshine and having that, like, that actually helped me feel a little, it helped me pull myself out of it a little bit. And, you know, that's very mild. I'm not saying people like don't need medication and stuff. I'm saying, like, for me, for that instance, that helped a lot. Especially when you're in this city or any city where you're surrounded by concrete and you don't have, that's actually a real thing. Like, when you can't put your feet in the grass, like, I don't think that helps us. You know?
And there's all different degrees of all of this.
Yeah.
So sometimes medication is obviously going to help.
Yeah.
And then there's maybe, I mean, obviously, I don't know what we're going through, you and I, Caitlin, but it might be smaller things to help us.
Right.
But I think the bottom line is everyone's mental health is important. And you have to try to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be such a taboo topic. Like, well, I'm glad we're talking about it.
I think this is my thing. I just realized is I don't like to talk about it with my friends because I don't want anyone to feel sorry for me or bad for me because I'm doing fine. And that's the thing is I'm fine. It's just that I have days where I'm very self-loathing and it's a spiral. It's definitely a spiral. But I don't want anyone to feel bad for me. That's the thing. I think that's why I don't like to talk about it.
Mm. Yeah. I think, like, I don't like to talk about it. I mean, we've touched on this before. I don't know if it was in an episode or offline, whatever. But, you know, I think, like, when I had originally told you that I had dealt with depression and anxiety before and you were shocked.
Yeah.
I think that's why I don't talk about it with people, because people expect me to be this bubbly, like, happy person all the time. And I'm not. Like, I don't want to give a percentage, but maybe 60% of the time I'm not that. And I'm putting a face on because people expect me to do that. And that puts a lot of pressure on it. And so I think when I bring, that's just me personally, but when I bring light to, like, oh, no, I actually feel this way most of the time, I don't want people to think I'm being fake with them, because I'm not. Like, the happiness is genuine, but a lot of times, like, I'm covering up a lot of other stuff I don't want you to know about.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about that. So you actually think more of the time you are...
Maybe not. I don't want to say that.
Or it's 50-50.
Yeah, maybe 50-50. Or maybe 40-60 the other way. Maybe 60% I'm genuinely doing great. But I'm just saying, like, especially when I worked in the casting world and we would have castings, like, sometimes every day, you know, you have to be on. You have to be professional. Mm-hmm. You have to be happy, basically. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, yeah, it can just take a toll on you to kind of hide things like that, and because people expect me to be so happy.
I think there is, for at least speaking for myself, there's like an element of like where my cheeriness is maybe compensatory for the fact that like I often just, I don't know, like, you know, when other people are happy and celebrating and everything, like, I'm kind of considering both sides. So it's like, I'm not always as happy as other people. But the thing about my situation is that I don't like to talk about it that often because for me, it's a chronic thing. And I don't want to sound like that person who's like, oh man, another tough day, you guys.
Like Eeyore.
All the time. Yeah. I don't want to be Eeyore.
We all want to be Tigger.
Yeah. Yet, on the other side of the coin, I've decided that I have to talk about it sometimes. Yeah. Like I just have to because it's such an omnipresent thing for me. It does not define me, but it is, something that I am challenged by like every single day, but I don't want to be that person that's on a daily basis talking about the thing that I'm constantly dealing with, if that makes sense. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's hard. It's I can probably say in general with any chronic illness, like you don't want to be that person that's always talking about it, you know, because you don't want people to think that that's all you.
Well, you don't want that to define you because you are so many things other than that, more than that, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, like, we've talked about, I think, at least, like, in friendship world, we've talked about when you meet someone and the first thing they say is, like, what do you do? It's, like, the worst question, even though we kind of all do it by habit. But it's like, well, I'm not defined by what I do. I'm defined by the fact that I'm, you know, an aunt and a sister and a what, you know what I mean? So I think it's almost that. It's like, you don't want to come at people and be like, guess what I, you know, it's like, I'm defined by so much more than all of my diagnoses and the things that I do battle with daily, but they're still a part of your life.
Well, I also feel like for every time that I speak out about it, especially with the same people, I don't know that this is true, but this is what my thoughts tell me, which is that, you know, they, you know, that the people who I've told before, each time I retell the things that I'm dealing with, they become less and less credible, if that makes sense. Like, each time I say it, it's sort of like, oh, here we go again. And, you know, there's like a staying power that you want to have when you're genuinely talking about these issues. But I think for me, I also start to doubt as to whether or not they're still kind of valid, you know, to the other people that I'm sharing with. I don't want them to think that this is something I'm just like making up, you know?
Well, just so you know, coming from me, and I'm sure Andrea, that's not the case at all. Like, anytime you talk about it, it's valid and it's important and we care.
But I know how you feel though, Danielle. Because when you keep bringing things up, but some people you can tell just tune it out.
Yeah, for sure.
And don't take it seriously at all. And that's why I think some people are afraid to talk about it because they think people are just going to go, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Well, we are almost out of... Actually, we are out of time.
We're out of time, yeah.
Go from finding our porn star names to talk about being sad.
But honestly, like, that's life, right?
That is
life's
exactly
messy.
What
it's
life
a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And now everyone listening, you're friends with us, so you're deep in it with us.
You know, we've talked about this stuff before.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's so shocking, but I think it's a good reminder, too, for everyone to know that I think it's pretty normal to have these ups and downs, and we're all just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
We're all doing the best we can.
Yes, we are.
We are.
I mean, you know.
Wait, before we go, I do want to say one thing. I did my why not from last week, which was to not use my cell phone.
Oh, yeah. I heard from you at like 11 p.m. and I was like, how was your day?
I went the whole day.
I was so proud of you.
On Sunday without a cell phone.
What?
Well, 10 a.m. So the goal was 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Now, it helped that I slept until 3 p.m. Fine. We don't have to talk about it. But it was hard. It was definitely hard because I wanted to grab my phone so many times, even just to check the time, to open up Instagram, whatever. And I went the whole day without using it. It was amazing.
I'm so proud of you.
I kind of want to continue it. I don't know if I need that long of a time because it got to be 8 o'clock and I was thinking, why am I doing this again? What's the point? But it was cool. It was really cool to not be on my phone all day, which sometimes I feel like I am on my phone all day.
Yeah.
And I know I got a couple people tweeting that they were going to try it. So I'm curious if you guys were able to do it. It's a fun challenge.
Yeah.
10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
I could try it. I don't know if I would do that long, but
that's the thing is, I think when you do it that long, you have to really plan ahead and you have to know where you're going. You have to know what stop you're going to get off because you can't Google.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, shit.
I mean, you can get on the computer, actually. You can use your laptop, but there's no texting, no social media. Try it. It was great. I did it.
Good recommendation.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we covered quite a bit.
I think so, too.
Just a little bit.
Let us know if you guys relate to any of this stuff.
Yeah. Or if you've been to any of those cities, I would love to hear if any of our listeners have like similar or they're talking about their experiences.
Maybe you live in the city.
Maybe you live in Berlin and we're meant to be together.
Yeah.
Maybe you are that bartender.
Ecky, if you're listening, I don't know the other bartender's name, but I do know my concierge, Ecky. Telling you, if I ever go back,
you're listening,
I'm gonna track him down.
Yeah,
Danielle's looking for love now.
I know. Hey, any listeners out there, we are back and ready, but we don't do casual. At least I don't. All right, it's getting weird now. We're gonna have to sign off here. Thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure to give us reviews on iTunes, it really helps us out. You can email us at pastyourbedtimepodcast@gmail.com. Check out our website, follow us on Instagram, all that wonderful stuff. And till next week, thank you guys for putting up with us.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.